Welcome to the Let's Get Vulnerable podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Morgan Anderson, psychologist, relationship coach, attachment theory expert, creator of the ESL relationship method, author of Love Magnet, and athletic wear connoisseur. My mission is to help you raise your self-worth, have great relationships, and step confidently into the next level of your life. Each week, two episodes will air featuring expert advice, live coaching, and tips showing you exactly how to improve your life and attract a healthy relationship. You deserve to feel empowered, secure, and loved. Buckle up and let's get vulnerable. Welcome to the Let's Get Vulnerable podcast. It's your host, Dr. Morgan, and this episode is a vulnerable one. It's on my heart because it's the month of May, and this is something that comes up for me every year. I know May is coming. And what is in May? Mother's Day. And so many of us have a complicated relationship with Mother's Day. And I figured I am not the only one. There are lots of people who are amazing listeners to this show who would benefit from discussing the mother wound. How do we work on repairing mother wounds? What does it look like to internalize a new healthy mother figure? What is the healthy model for mothering? And I just want to talk about it. Let's just be honest and talk about it, right? For me, I experienced losing my mom at a young age. And some of you know the whole story. If you've listened to past episodes, there have been one or two where I've gone into detail. The reality that happened for me was my mom had a traumatic brain injury that left her essentially in a vegetative state. She was not able to be herself, obviously. She was essentially a shell of a human. She was in a physical body, but she was not there. She couldn't do anything for herself, walk, talk, feed herself, anything. She was in a bed. And as you can imagine, being 6 years old, seeing a parent go through this, it was horribly confusing, horribly traumatic. And I remember the period of time where I had the belief that she was coming back. My adults in my life, my dad, obviously they wanted to protect me and care for me. And they would say things like, she's going to get better. And I have these vivid memories of going to the hospital and feeling horribly uncomfortable of being by her side with, you know, a tube going down her throat. Her head is shaved. She looks nothing like my mom, yet it was my mom in a physical body. And just this pain and hope and all of it wrapped up in one of just being horribly, horribly confused. And what happened was, is my dad was able to care for her for a period of time. And this was, of course, incredibly hard on him as well. He essentially had to give up his job and he was in full-time caregiving mode. And my mom was in the house with us and I wouldn't have friends over. I was so, and you know, obviously as a kid, I didn't understand this, but I was just so embarrassed that I didn't have a mom, and I felt weird and I felt different and I felt like there was something wrong with me. Even though this horrible tragedy had happened to me, I felt like there was something wrong with me and that people would judge me. And I just remember like telling people that, you know, my mom had died, or that if they did come over, I remember saying like, oh, that's like my grandmother in the other room. I just had this huge, huge wound in my heart of like, this can't be my reality. This can't be my mom. And I didn't know how to cope with it. And I had a really challenging time getting the nurturing and the mothering that I needed. And I have these amazing aunts, incredible women in my life, but there was a long period, basically from ages 6 to about 12, 13, where I was not even living anywhere near them. I was in Washington and they were in Montana. And I didn't have the nurturing and mothering that I needed. I constantly felt like a burden. And it was little things, right? It's like the everyday little things. How to comb my hair, what outfits to wear, learning how to shave my legs, learning what to do when I had a crush on a boy, how to deal with all kinds of emotions that I was starting to have. And I just felt completely lost. Now, I had a stepmother who was very emotionally unavailable, who suffered from a ton of mental illness and was incredibly toxic. And that model of mothering taught me to shrink down even more and taught me that it wasn't safe to be vulnerable. So I go from losing my mom, who was from, you know, birth to age 6, she was an incredible model of what a mom should be. I remember her being very present and involved, and I felt so loved, and she was just incredible. I go from losing that all of a sudden to then having a new stepmother who, by the way, forced me to call her mom like right away. And the internalized idea of what a mom is and what mothering is got really, really jumbled for me. And as I was going through all this, I'm developing a disorganized attachment style. I developed both anxious and avoidant attachment tendencies. And I disconnect from myself. That's one of the things that can happen when we have a mother wound. Those of you who have complicated relationships with your mom, maybe your story isn't like mine. Maybe your mom was there physically, but maybe she had an alcohol problem. Maybe she was addicted to drugs. Maybe she was so wrapped up in her own romantic relationships that she couldn't make space for you. Whatever the case, right? If you have a mom that's not able to show up with the emotional capacity to hold space for you, to validate your experience, to be there for you emotionally, you can develop the mother wound, which can lead you to completely disconnect from yourself because you can't connect to your emotional experiences because there's no safe place for you to share them. You don't feel safe even knowing what your emotions are or being in your emotional self because you don't have a place to share them. And I can honestly tell you that that was me for a really, 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 really long time, even though I wasn't fully aware of it. I was disorganized attachment style, way over functioning. I loved taking care of others because it was a way for me to easily abandon myself because I couldn't sit with understanding my own emotions or even knowing what I was feeling or what I wanted. So of course, what career path did I find myself in? A psychologist. And I always acknowledge that my decision to become a psychologist was both a trauma response and a mission. It was a heart-centered response, but it was also a trauma response. And obviously there's so much growth in if you're drawn to helping professions, how do you heal your relationship to your profession so that it's no longer a trauma response? It's no longer unhealthy coping. Instead, it can become simply a mission-driven career choice. But for me, initially, unconsciously, part of my decision to go into the field of clinical psychology was a trauma response. I was much more comfortable helping other people, holding space for other people, learning how to validate other people's emotions. In order to survive my chaotic childhood, I became a highly sensitive person. I always had a gift at easily tuning into what other people were. And I used that to my advantage to become an incredible psychologist. And I wouldn't realize until I was in my late 20s, so approximately about 4 to 5 years ago, I didn't realize that my profession was one of the things that was keeping me stuck, because it allowed me to continue to avoid my inner self. So I am going down a rabbit hole here, but I just want to acknowledge that the mother wound can impact you in so many ways. It might have impacted what career you chose. I wonder, are there any of you out there who have been drawn to helping professions, obviously from a place of service, from a place of love, but could it also be because you're much more comfortable taking care of others and you can use that as a way to avoid taking care of you? Just want you to contemplate that. Other things when it comes to our relationship to the mother, we can think about our own ability to be mothers. And for those of us, I could get really emotional thinking about this. For those of us who've had difficult relationships with our own moms, it can bring up a lot of self-doubt. You can really wonder, am I going to be able to do this? Am I going to be able to know how to show up and nurture a child when I never received that myself, right? And oh my God, I get goosebumps because I think about how important it is breaking the generational cycles. When you say, I deserve to heal so that I can learn how to nurture myself. I want to learn how to show up for me, validate my emotions, be in tune with myself, be able to communicate boundaries. When you're learning all that and you're releasing your past, it's so, so important because you're breaking the cycles. And whether you're having your own children or other kids around you or other people in your life, however you're showing up as a mom, there are many ways to be a mom in our world, that you can show up in the way that you wish that you had received. You can show up in the way that you wish that you had received, and you can show up in a way that is in alignment with being emotionally available and with being able to prioritize healthy, loving, long-term, emotionally available relationships. And that when you can make that decision, I think it's the most powerful decision you can make in your entire life. I know lots of people who can go out and they can make a ton of money. They can be so successful in their careers. And if they haven't decided to heal, if they haven't decided to break the generational patterns, they can still find themselves pretty miserable no matter how much money they have in the bank. If you haven't decided to heal, you're gonna feel like something is off, right? Like, wow, I've done all of this. Maybe you're so successful in your career. You've done so much in your life. But if you're still struggling with that mother wound, with unhealed things from your past and you're repeating cycles, you will have a part of you that feels very unfulfilled. So what a gift. What a gift that I get to help people with this. And I just am going, wow, if you are a mom or you're thinking about becoming a mom, or if you are in the helping professions like me, and maybe part of your decision to do it was a trauma response, I just want you to know, like, you're not alone, okay? You're not alone. Hey, let's get vulnerable, fam. I have something so special for you. You are not going to want to miss this. This is my gift to you. This month, right now, you can get access to one of my famous 3-day challenges. This is a challenge that people loved. We had hundreds of people participate in this. It changed lives. So I don't want you to miss out on it. All you have to do, you can go to the link in the show notes and sign up. And what's going to happen is we'll be sending you the recordings directly to your inbox. So you can watch it on your own time, but for 3 days in a row, you're going to get access to these recordings. Like I said, this is from the vault. I'm bringing it back because we've had so many people who loved this challenge. Just so you get an idea of what it is, day one, it's all about understanding your dating patterns and cycles and also fully releasing your past. Day two, this is really powerful. It's all about rewiring your brain for a great relationship, how to create a healthy relationship belief system. Absolute game changer. And then day three is all about attracting healthy love, becoming securely attached, embodying secure attachment. You do not want to miss this challenge. It is so good. All you have to do is go to the link in the show notes and sign up, and it's going to be automatically sent to your inbox. So look for that link. Don't miss out on this. It's my gift to you. You're going to love it. I had a long time where I knew that if I had tried to become a mom, or if I had become a mom, that I don't know if I would have been able to show up well. And can I tell you, oh man, I'm going to cry. Can I tell you how much joy and peace it brings me to know that if I have a kid now, that I will, when I have a child now, that I will be able to show up and be a really wonderful mom to that child because of the decisions that I've made to heal my heart and to attract a man who's also an incredible partner and that will partner with me in that. I mean, just knowing that, it is the best thing I've ever done in my life to get to that place where I'm not bringing my past into my present relationships, where I have the emotional capacity to show up well. So if you have a complicated relationship with mothering, with your own mother, with your own ability to be a mom, or with struggling with the decision, maybe not being a mom, and maybe you're showing up in mothering ways to people in your community or to your friends' kids or to your nieces and nephews. If you're struggling with that identity, I want you to remember a couple core things about being the good enough mother. There's no perfect mother. There's a writer, Winnicott, I'm blanking on his first name, but he wrote extensively about being the good enough mother. And if you want to go read, I'm sure there's articles, you could just type in good enough mother, it would come up. But the gist of it is this, that we want to be able to show up for people in a way where we can be emotionally regulated. We can be a safe place. We can be attuned. What does that mean? When we have emotional capacity, we are emotionally regulated. That means that we can be attuned to other people's experiences in a non-reactive but supportive way, right? And when we think about being the good enough mother, that's really it at its core. We're attuned. We're emotionally regulated. We are supportive. We're able to hold space. We're able to validate the child's experience. And we're showing up with this commitment of, I value you. I value the relationship. I'm here. I'm present. I am securely attached to you. I'm not going anywhere. And I am committed to creating a healthy, loving connection with you, right? So I want you to just think about that, this concept of the good enough mother, and knowing that that's available to you no matter what your past has been. That is available to you. And I want you to start thinking about it. Maybe you've never thought about this. Maybe you've thought about it a lot. Regardless, I want you to just start really imagining, what would my version of the good enough mother be? What would be important? What are the things that are needed? You might think about, how do we navigate conflict? How do we celebrate one another? That's a fun one, right? Like, part of being seen is being celebrated. And I am so sick and tired, especially of women downplaying things in their life because they're not comfortable with receiving. They're not comfortable being celebrated. So think about, how would your ideal mother celebrate you? How would you want to be celebrated? And that's a big clue into what would it look like for you to show up that way, right? So how to navigate conflict, how to be celebrated, how to communicate that you have boundaries and that you are there. So I think about, we want boundaries to be communicated well with love, that they're honest, open, direct, clear, and also that there can be dialogue around them as well, right? That it's like, this is the boundary. Let's talk about it. I want to make sure that you understand. So it's not a dictatorship. This is a assertive, but loving and kind, reciprocal communication, right? That it's a conversation. Learning how to show up that way. Obviously, learning how to have empathy. This is something that my partner does so, so well. Oh my gosh. He definitely could have been a therapist if he went that route. He's so freaking good at this. But being able to really be present when someone is sharing something with you, whether it's something positive or it's something they're struggling with, but being present and making sure that they feel heard. This is a big one with body language, facial expressions, but being truly present, repeating back what you've heard. This is some active listening, attunement, right? And showing that genuine care and concern. And oh my gosh, that goes so, so far, right? So those are just some of the things to get you started, but I would encourage you, do a free write today. What would your ideal mother be like? Okay, we're imagining the mother that a lot of us did not have, and there's obviously grieving that comes with that. And in the grieving, though, on the other side, there's this wonderful opportunity to ask the question, okay, what would my ideal mother be like? So go write this out. And then the first thing I want you to do is I want you to make sure you're showing up that way for yourself. Are you showing up for you as your ideal mother? Okay. And if not, then I want you to start noticing. I want you to start noticing, when are the times that you're self-critical, that you're beating yourself up, that you're diminishing your accomplishments, you're not celebrating, that you're not validating, right? Like, I want you to start noticing, when are you showing up as, and I don't want to say toxic, that's not the right word, as a ineffective mother to yourself, right? And just gently, no judgment. We don't want to be judgmental about our self-criticism, but gently acknowledge it, notice it, and you can have compassion and say, wow, that's probably some of the stuff I internalized. I learned how to do that based on the mothering that I received, and I'm now rejecting that. I'm no longer showing up that way. It's what I learned. And instead, I'm going to choose the compassionate, highly attuned, loving mother. And I have the beautiful ability to choose that every day, right? And I just want you to practice it. I want to make sure that you are showing up that way for you first, okay? And then obviously, if this podcast resonated with you and you know you need more support, I would love to support you. I'm just so obsessed with our community. We have the best clients on the planet. We have the best coaches on the planet. Our community is unmatched. This is just such a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful group of women. And I want to encourage you that if you've been on the fence, if you are a mom or a helping professional, so doctor, lawyer, nurse, teacher, anything that's in the helping professions, or you're a mom, I'm doing something I've never done before. I'm offering really special financing. I want to make sure that the program is available to people who need it. So all you have to do is apply to the program. There's the link is in the show notes. And then when you speak with our program expert, you'll just let them know you're a helping professional, you're a mom, and we have some really special offers and we want to work with you. So I'm so happy to give back in this way. I'm so happy. And just know I'm sending you so much love. If Mother's Day is complicated for you, I see you. I get it. I've been there. It's complicated for me too. It's filled with a lot of love. A lot of love for the women in my life who were not my biological mother, but who stepped up and became a mother, especially my Aunt Peggy, my Aunt Bonnie, my Aunt Mary, my Aunt Cindy. I have the incredible aunts who stepped up later in my life and could model what true mothering was. And that was so healing for me. To my twin sister, who's an incredible mom. I get very emotional thinking about her being a mom. So I have all of that joy and love and gratitude. And I also have the pain and I have the fear and I have the need to reassure myself that yes, one day I will be a good mom. So wherever you are, no matter how complex this Mother's Day is for you, please love yourself, give yourself compassion. Okay. And if you know you need support in doing the work, now is the time. You can apply to the program using the link in the show notes. Let's get you securely attached in time for summer. Don't wait. All right, y'all. I'm sending you so much love. I hope you take great care of yourselves. And of course, as always, I'm wishing you high self-worth and great relationships. Until next time. Thanks for tuning in. I really appreciate each and every one of you. The best way you can thank me is by sharing this episode on Instagram or Facebook. Make sure you tag me. It would mean the world to me if you took just a moment to leave me a written review on Apple Podcasts. This podcast is not free to produce, and the more that you help this show grow, the more people will be able to help. Until next time, I'm wishing you high self-worth and great relationships. Thank you for being part of this community.